This is your classical break, a chance to take a step back and enjoy some great music in the middle of a busy day. I'm Tyler Alderson, and today we're celebrating Franz Joseph Haydn's birthday, March 31st, 1732. And we'll be listening to his Lark String Quartet. It's a little longer than the usual pieces that I have on this podcast, about 20 minutes in total, but I just couldn't break it up. It's beautiful and a really good example of Haydn's genius with string quartets. By the time he wrote this, Haydn's music was well known around Europe, which is a bit odd because he himself was stuck most of the time in the Esterházy estate out in the middle of the countryside in the area that's now Austria and Hungary. In 1779, he renegotiated his contract with his employers, and he very smartly got their permission to sell his music to outside publishers. Previously, he'd worked like a lot of composers worked. All of their music was the property of their employer. Now, he could take some of those inventive ideas that he had had and sell them across the continent, which he did. And by the time he was writing this string quartet in 1790, his music and ideas had become hugely popular and influential, which is not bad for a guy living out in the boonies. Haydn was known as the father of the string quartet, and this came about essentially by chance. He was part of a group that would get together and they'd play music, and that group had two violinists, a violist, and a cellist. So Haydn wrote some music for that group, and it was well enough received that he ended up returning to the idea time and time again. This piece also showcases another Haydn innovation, the sonata. Sonata can be used to refer to a type of instrumental piece like a piano or a cello sonata, but it's also a way to organize a piece of music into multiple movements. It's not only used for sonatas and string quartets, but for symphonies, concertos, piano trios, all kinds of stuff. And Haydn is primarily responsible for setting the standard that other composers ended up following. Now, this quartet is a perfect example. It's organized into four movements. The first one is a fast movement. The second one is slower. Third is a minuet. Usually the third is a dance form of some sort. And the fourth movement is fast again. If you remember that basic setup of four movements, fast, slow, dance, fast, you know the basic setup of a huge portion of instrumental classical music. Now, the quartet gets its name from the opening theme of the first movement. It's very high up on the first violin, and it sounds very much like a bird flying above the crowd. And the rest of the instruments have this very choppy, almost jagged accompaniment, and that jerky feeling pervades throughout the movement. The second movement isn't quite as jerky, but it isn't really smooth either. It starts and it stops. It never really builds up much momentum. The minuet in the third movement finally has a rhythmic thrust. It moves quickly forward, and that feeling carries on through the final movement, which starts out with a flurry of notes, and it never lets up for more than a moment or two. So for Haydn's birthday, the Musopen String Quartet with his Lark Quartet. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's called the lark because of the first movement, but I can see a huge flock of birds circling and swooping all over the place in that last movement as well. Haydn's Lark Quartet on his birthday, March 31st. Thanks to the Muse Open String Quartet for putting that up on museopen.org, and thank you for listening. If you have a moment, please rate and review this podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you get it from. I'm Tyler Alderson, and next week for your classical break, we'll be taking on a giant, Beethoven's groundbreaking Third Symphony. But we'll start on Monday with another one of the three B's of classical music, Brahms, and his tragic overture. See you then.